Hello everyone, welcome to the Global Business Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Philpott, and I'll be back in a second with another great guest for you today. There is plenty going on around the world in the business community, and it's my goal on this podcast to bring you lots of different people talking about their businesses and where they're at the moment, what strategies are they using to come out of COVID-19, how their businesses have been impacted, and some of the lessons that have been learnt during this time, from CEOs to people that have started their own businesses just last week, to people who are operating in the not-for-profit sector, entrepreneurs who have started multiple businesses. They're all the types of guests that I have on the show. Welcome to the Global Business Podcast. I'm Mark Philpott. So it's a very warm welcome to the Global Business Podcast show today to Lucy Loretta. Lucy, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Now, whereabouts in the world are you talking to us from today?
I'm in Melbourne, Australia.
Melbourne, Australia, in the middle of winter. It must be freezing.
It's actually a blue sky here today.
Oh.
Like, we're lucky. But the mornings and the evenings, it just drops down and it's freezing. So I can't live without my ducted heating, although I hate ducted heating because it gives me allergies. So can't win.
Now, when you say you got blue sky, it's only for the moment because we all know Melbourne's famous for having four seasons in a day, so it could change pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, people all over the world are being impacted in all kinds of different ways due to COVID-19. How are you personally coping? How are you, you know, as a person?
Well, initially, like, it was, you know, it was a shock. And I went into denial, you know, panic. Because all my orders came to a halt. I specialize in evening wear for women. Yep. So that's what I do. I make that. And with no events happening, all events cancelled, everything came to a stop. So it was a bit of panic, but then I went through and, you know, I put my brain in order and, you know, went to logic and, you know, I thought, well, this is not just about me or my family. This is a global issue. And how are we going to get through this together? Like, it's affecting, you know, affected my relatives overseas and, you know, friends and, like, it's something we've never experienced before, and now there's still so much uncertainty.
So let's get to know a little bit more about your business. What's the name of your business and why did you start it?
So all my life I've been in the fashion industry, with my mother being a dressmaker, so I, you know, I just loved watching her create all our family clothes, and I always had that drive to be a fashion designer. I started my business in 2005 after working, you know, 8 years as an assistant for an Australian designer. 2005, and I started as Layla, which is Layla, which means there she is. But about 3 years ago, I did a very big intense course with my mentor who taught me so much, and I went through a rebrand to actually rebrand and use my name, Lucy Loretta. That was only a very recent change, and there's a big story behind all of that, but that's for another time. But, you know, in all of that, I learned, so my mentor Henry Roth taught me something that has changed and reprogrammed my mindset. And this is the reason why I believe I can cope with what's happening today. You know, he taught me the saying, like, we are the sum total of our experiences. And the real meaning of that.
How important, I love that you've brought up the fact of having a mentor in your business. How important has it been for you? You know, you've been in business 15 years. When did you first get together with your mentor?
About 4 years ago, I knew of him. He was a very famous, we're very well known in the fashion industry. And he was, big in New York. Like, so his family ran a fashion business, and his sister still, does is still in New York. So it was just by chance at a function that we came face to face, and from there we just became really good friends, and he sort of took me under his wing and taught me so much.
So you weren't actually out there seeking a mentor at the time?
I did. I had mentors in the past, but they were too corporate driven, and that did not suit me at all.
It's very important to get the right fit, isn't it?
Yeah, a creative mind and a corporate mind are very different. I've learnt to adapt and interact and, you know, obviously build, go with formulas to suit my business. But it's taken a long time. It's a very personal thing to have a small business because it's you.
Yep. It's your baby, isn't it? You know, it's like nurturing your own little
child. And especially as a creative, you wear your heart on your sleeve.
Well, let's talk about that, because I thought I'd try to dig up a little bit of useless information today to share with you that you may not know about being a creative and an artisan. So do you know that back in the medieval times, artisans were broken up into two groups? Did you know that?
No.
The ones that owned their businesses were known as masters. They were given the label as masters. And the ones that just worked as employees, they were given no title and they were just the service providers. So you're actually a master because you own your own business. There you go.
Well, that makes sense. that does make sense.
So let's go back to 15 years ago when you started your business. How hard was it to get it going, getting it off the ground and finding customers?
Well, because I came from working with a prominent Australian designer, back then, 2005, there were still a lot more independent boutiques open supporting Australian designers. So when I started, you know, there was, you know, I was selling to 10 boutiques nationwide, and things picked up pretty quickly. But in 2008, I had my son and the GFC happened. So everything sort of came crashing down very fast as well, because stores started to close. Just everything changed very rapidly, and I was, you know, trying to get used to being a mother for the first time.
A juggling act.
Yeah. So, for a year, it took me, you know, I just sort of maintained my business for the first year of having my son. And I had a studio then, everything. It was just complicated. Being a mum is complicated, but then running a small business and the global financial crisis, it just was very tough.
Were there any role models at the time around you who were other mothers running businesses that you kind of tapped into?
At the time, no. I didn't think I had any energy to... network. I definitely didn't network. I was very much an introvert as well.
Okay, so you didn't really want to put yourself out there and try to connect with too many people.
No, there was too many fears.
Yeah, understandable. So I guess that's really interesting, because going through the GFC and seeing what happened to the economy at that stage, there's I guess some resemblance to what we're going through right now when COVID-19 came to town. So when COVID came, what was your initial reaction in terms of your business? Did you actually go back into your memory base based on what happened around GFC, or did you treat it as a brand new kind of phenomenon that was coming along?
At first, it was a brand new phenomenon. I did have a little panic because, you know, then I had my kids to be homeschooled. So my husband and I shared, you know, the homeschooling, you know, everything came to a complete stop, whereas the GFC, it didn't come to a complete stop.
So when you say it came to a complete stop, customers stopped ordering, was that it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And was that overnight? Did that happen overnight, or was there kind of a filtering out effect? No, it was overnight, was it?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, everything stopped. There was no events to be held, so, you know, orders were put on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of your business model, had you always been producing clothes for women for events? Was that your main core business activity?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Had you thought of at any time that you could diversify into other streams of fashion opportunity, or was that just something you were passionate about doing and wanted to do?
Yeah, I'm passionate about the event wear because it's something special, and you become a part of that person's special occasion. Mm. It's memorable. And that's very much what I'm about and what my business is about, creating memories. So I've never been interested in the day-to-day fashion because there's too much, you know, that comes in from overseas, and it's not my interest.
Right.
So I'm more interested in, you know, the connectivity of it all.
Mm. So when COVID came to town, what was your strategy with your business once you found out overnight that your customers stopped ordering? What kind of did you do?
Luckily I'm a small business, so I was able to stop production of anything, minimize all overheads, you know, and I there were things that I needed to do in my business that I hadn't had time to do or wasn't able to do because I was just busy. So I put my efforts into planning, well, what do I need to get done in this time to be proactive? So, you know, I been working with my digital designer to get my new website up and with the new collection, and ironically called Life is a Dancer. Because, you know, that's where in life we just have to go with the flow.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we can't control everything, and this is something that's out of our control. So you have to strategize with, you know, and do what you can with what you've got.
So interestingly enough, you started to use the time effectively straight away to take on some of those tasks that you'd probably had not only on the back burner, but they were going to be taking a little bit longer to get done, right? So you decided to jump on those. Yeah, great.
Yeah, so that's getting done. Obviously, you know, eating well, exercising. I'm also illustrating a book of affirmations. So it's called The Little Book of Perfection.
Beautiful. So diversification as well.
Yes, and also maintaining mental health, as that's a number one priority.
Yeah.
I'm a Mental Health Foundation Australia ambassador.
Right.
And I feel that this is going to be a big issue within society now, and we need to really nurture people.
So has the door opened for you during this period where you've, you know, inadvertently put your business on the pause button a little bit and looking at some of these other aspects within your life that you're very passionate about and embracing those opportunities?
Yeah, I'm always embracing opportunities, you know. I'm big on collaborating because that is what business survival or life is all about, you know. Finding your support network and collaborating with others to gain that mutual benefit and grow.
Yeah. Yeah, terrific. So how many people are effectively involved in your business? You talked about a graphic designer. Is there any other bods that are involved in your business in total?
Yeah. And then with my dressmaking, I have contractors that will, you know, so I do all the designing and the pattern making. Cutting, and then I have some seamstresses that work with me, and I mean they've been affected with their families and taken that time to be with their families as well, you know.
So everybody within your supply chain, so to speak, has kind of been put on hold as far as the
definitely,
business.
Definitely. Definitely. So, stores had to close.
Yep.
You know, and they've got big overheads of rent.
So how are things going to look moving forward with that? Because are you in constant communication with them to, you know, find out how they're going, whether they are actually going to open up again and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, oh, they've opened up now. Right. And with some restrictions easing, people have started, women have started going in to look for gowns. I think everyone wants to get back to life. Everyone wants to plan their occasions. Weddings, engagements. So orders have slowly started to come in.
So people listening around the world today, I guess it's fair to say that COVID-19 has created an environment where most countries are in their own cycle or process of coming out of lockdown. Australia's been very fortunate in this whole episode that the number of cases and the number of deaths have been quite minimal, although, you know, one death's too many. But the relative, you know, sense of what's happened around the world in a lot of hotspots, that hasn't happened here in Australia. And Lucy lives in the state of Victoria. Melbourne's in the state of Victoria in Australia. And they too are going through their own cycle when it comes to COVID-19. So what are the actual restrictions on you as a business owner today, Lucy, when it comes to, you know, easing restrictions and getting back to whatever that normal is?
Well, I can see a customer one-on-one, but, you know, still, like, without there being events held, you know, there's just so much uncertainty. And our numbers have actually spiked in Victoria.
Right, for COVID, that is, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everyone's on edge, I feel.
Yeah, right. So if you've been watching a lot of the online community, there's been lots of creative ways that, you know, we've seen comedians now doing their shows online. We've seen, you know, chefs and everything taking their shows online. What about making dresses for people that can get online and show them off? Is that going to be a possibility?
Possibly.
You could have a whole lot of models out there showing off your dresses online.
Possibly. I mean, I just had a photo shoot in Canberra on the weekend. There's always, like, there's always possibilities and there's always collaborations going on all over. But in terms of, you know, there could be, I know I've seen friends in entertainment industry, they're doing online concerts, so they may need a gown for that. But, you know, how do we get back into what we were doing before? I don't know at this stage. I'm still unclear
because
to the way forward in
you're very
dresses.
Reliant on these big events happening, aren't you, in terms of,
yes,
you know, lots and lots of people coming together. Do you do wedding gowns as well?
Yes. So my range caters for wedding gowns, but it's more of a classic look. So my customer, my bride customer would be someone that is having her wedding on the beach or going away to some amazing location.
Yeah.
So we're all restricted to staying in our own cities at the moment.
So what are some of the business lessons that you've learnt going through this process at the moment, reflecting, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, right? So we've got an opportunity to sit down now and go, okay, what are some of the things that I could do to tweak my business? Has there been anything that's come out for you that you can share?
In terms of tweaking my business at the moment, obviously I have to look at, you know, social behaviour. One, you know, are we going to need things that are less formal and a different price point? So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at what else I can do creatively with opening my mind to other possibilities.
Okay. So you've really got the crystal ball out and you're trying to work out, you know, what the new landscape's going to look like.
Yeah, navigating, you know, but that's what a creative does. We're constantly navigating our way through things.
And is your mentor actively involved with you during this time? Have you got communication going there?
Yes. But he's actually writing a book at the moment. He's in his writer's den.
Right.
So
good time to do that.
Exciting. Oh, he's been working on this project for a while with his father. So it's it'll be a very interesting read. So I can't wait for that. But yeah, he's constantly there to support. And you know, I have great support with my husband, my kids. Like every, you know, like we have to just be grateful. And this has been my time to, you know, invest in me. That's been what I've been doing. I've been investing in me, like with, you know, educating myself on things that I didn't look into before. You know, connecting, like the importance of connecting with people. And just being authentic, like just, you know, my message hasn't really changed throughout my whole career, you know, and being open to opportunity in collaborating.
So do you think, you know, we all know as a small business owner, you're flat out every day and you're really, you know, working in the business and on the business as much as you can. Has this time to take a breath really helped you in terms of being able to focus on those other things that you've just mentioned in a more kind of sustainable way?
Yes.
Mm. Has it made you realize how busy and focused you were on the business only?
Yes. And this has been, you know, a learning curve, not that we wanted it to happen this way, but a learning curve to go, well, if we do just pause, what's going to happen? You know, you're going to gain clarity. You're going to gain focus. You're going to be able to redirect yourself into the path that you want to be heading.
So what advice would you give to someone listening today who's about to start a new business up, a small business like yours? What kind of pieces of advice?
With so many people now faced with unemployment, you know, it's a scary time. So I would, you know, strongly get yourself a mentor, surround yourself with people that lift your spirits, you know, believe in yourself, set a plan and start small and sustainable. Just think of starting a business that you love and you can make a living from.
Good advice, because I think in terms of when you do that, you're actually, it's not really working, is it? You're doing a hobby that you're fortunate enough to be making money out of and creating a living out of. And when you're doing something that's more of a hobby and a passion, then it's a lot easier to do as well.
Well, yes. And the way, well, what we're facing at the moment, like a million people unemployed. Well, I imagine in that group of people, that there would also be creatives and they would now have an opportunity to start a small business, an opportunity they didn't think was possible before because they were in this high pressure job. But now that's all changed and they've got to now rethink their situation. And how do they make a living when these jobs are gone? And if the government could encourage and support small business and nurturing these situations, and then the Aussies would buy from, you know, our local creatives.
Let's talk about the government influence in your business, because we've seen around the world and here in Australia where governments have stepped up to, you know, support and bail out airlines that were going under and other big businesses. How's the impact from a government point of view been on your business in Australia as a small business owner?
Well, thankfully that, you know, the JobKeeper has been in place and JobSeeker. So that is obviously a huge help. But how sustainable, how long is that sustainable for? People need to get into doing something to make an income.
So just for people listening around the world today that are not familiar with Australia's support for businesses, JobKeeper JobSeeker. These are for employees and also the business owners who getting some financial support from the government for a set period of time. How long does it go for, Lucy? When are they saying they're turning off the tap?
As far as I know, is it September?
September, okay.
But, you know, with, you know, more unemployed every day, like I think 100,000 were out just the other day, and they're expecting another 200,000 out. It's a dire situation, and like the ripple effect, people's mental health, if we don't start a strategy of getting people into a situation where they're actively doing something rather than just waiting on a payment from the government, like, you know, you want to feel part of society.
So you mentioned earlier to me that you're ambassador for the Mental Health Foundation in Australia. How did that come about?
I was approached and inducted last year in August. And I mean, it's always been a passion of mine to be involved in community work, and mental health is something that can affect anyone. There's no stereotype, and with the rise of, you know, pressures around the world and social media, I have children, like, you know, it's something that's always been on my mind to, you know, preserve mental health.
No, that's very noble and a fantastic cause to follow. I see that the Australian government has put forward some quite heavy funding to help, I guess, with developments in that area, knowing perfectly well that there's going to be a lot of people that have been made unemployed. And
yeah, the ripple effect of this is going to be devastating.
Yeah. And we're talking about, you know, there's different forms of unemployment, right? We're talking about people that have lost their jobs, maybe in the hospitality industry, that will eventually come back at different stages. But we're also, you know, talking about businesses that have closed forever and they're not coming back, right? So those are the ones that are going to be, obviously, I don't want to say more devastated, but they'll be just as devastated as the others. What is this period of time? How do you think it's changed you as a business owner, Lucy, and the way that you look at business in general? Is it the end all and be all of life, running a business?
Well, for me, it's a part of my life, but it's not the be all end all. For me, I believe, you know, eventually we will have events again, and, you know, women will need a gown again. For me, it's like finding something that you love to do and that you can connect with people. Whether that's running your own business or whether that's working in a in an industry that you love.
That's a good piece of advice, because I think there's a lot of people out there that have got skill sets that they might be a little bit shy of sharing or using, and a lot of other people would be interested to know that, you know, and interested to see what you can do, and until you actually try, right?
This is the time to believe in yourself. This is the time to give it a go.
Are most of the people that you connect with through your job, are they women mainly?
No, mixture, actually.
Mixture, okay.
Yeah.
A lot more men these days in the fashion industry than what used to be?
I think there's always been men in the fashion industry, but it could be like even event organisers or... I supplied gowns for theatre, like stage shows. So I'm very diverse in what I do.
And how was the fashion industry going pre-COVID-19? And I'm talking about at an international level, was there a lot of recognition around the world of Australian designers?
It was growing, but for me, what I see as an issue for Australian fashion is that we are limited to our resources. We don't have enough locally produced resources. So, you know, I've recently just written an article into government about Made in Australia and what does that actually mean? Because I'm focusing on, you know, jobs in textiles, for instance. You know, if we supported a local textile manufacturing, you know, how much better will that be for us as a community? Because we'd have control. We'd know what the fiber content was. We'd eliminate the toxins in fabrics. I'm not saying that we stop importing other products, not at all, but we need a balance and we need to sustain our fashion industry. If we don't invest in our own resources, such as textile production, how is our fashion industry sustainable? And how are we truly backing the Buy Australian campaign?
Really good point. I wrote a letter to the Prime Minister of Australia in the beginning of COVID-19 and suggested some of the things along the lines that you're talking about here. I said that I think it's a great time for the country to do a general audit,
yes,
of everything that we do in industry and how we source our raw materials and how we manufacture and how we distribute and all the rest of it. Because as you've already shared with me today, that during this time where you've hit the pause button in your mainstream business, it's allowed you to be looking at other opportunities, to being more creative about things that are out there. And this is the time where a country can do that at a national level as well. And I think that's a really good idea. So where do you think the fashion industry could be in 5 years from now in Australia if they adopted some of these initiatives you're talking about?
Well, for one, we'd be supporting our own, and like little businesses like mine would be thriving because we'd be so much more sustainable. And like there would be thousands of people just like me running a small little business, selling to their clients, connecting with people. We'd have probably a happier society. And we'd be, we don't like small business like me, we don't need global recognition. So
you're happy to produce for the local market and for people, yes, to enjoy wearing the clothes that you make.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good because, you know, a lot of people start a business and they want to take over the world and they want to be number one at this and all the rest of it. But you have
That's all well and good. But yeah, at this time,
yeah,
in what's happening globally, start small and sustainable and enjoy it.
Great pieces of advice there. That's a good one to end the show on today, Lucy. I want to thank you very much for joining me at the Global Business Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed yourself on your first podcast episode today. Well done. You've done a brilliant
job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the opportunity to, you know, say my bit and my thoughts.
You've shared a lot of interesting comments about not only the business side, but also how people should be taking care of themselves across the world at this particular point in time. So I thank you very much for that. And we will keep in touch, Lucy, and I'm sure we'll find out how we all move forward in the not too distant future. So thanks again and have a happy weekend.
Thanks, Mark. You too.
There we are. That was Lucy Loretta, fashion designer, mother, and Mental Health Foundation Ambassador in Australia, speaking to me today on the Global Business Podcast. I hope you enjoyed many of the great tips that Lucy gave about living life during these times as a business owner and some of the creative things we can do to look after ourselves as well, which is very important. I've really enjoyed bringing this show to you. And if you're looking for another podcast that I do, check out the Global Travel Channel. Yes, I talk to people all around the world about their travel experiences. educational, inspirational, and motivational episodes, as well as doing this, the Global Business Podcast. Join us on Facebook under the Global Business Podcast. Join in our growing community around the world. This channel is all about trying to support and innovate and share ideas with people around the world on business during these difficult times. Thanks for listening in today. My name is Mark Philpott. I look forward to being back with you all again very soon here on the Global Business Podcast.